We're reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, and verses 19 through 20. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the corners, street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Pray to your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. And then verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading and the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit, the word of God for the people of God. I was struck by a song that we sing all the time, but I wondered if when we sing it, do we really pay attention to the words, or have we heard it so much that we just really listen to the melody? And so, Margaret, would you sing just the first stanza for us. What a powerful song, amen? All because we do not carry. It says maybe one or two things to God in prayer, right? That's what it said? What did it say? What did it say? Everything to God in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace, and I'm a broken vessel. But I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Lord, I pray that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Preacher was talking and he said, has there ever been a time when you had a challenging whatever it is and you didn't know where to begin? Something challenged you, but you didn't know how to fix it. You didn't know where to begin. Has there ever been a time in your life like that? And he said one day he was coming home from church and his car broke down and he was able to guide it off the road. And he tried to turn it over a few times, but to no avail, it wouldn't turn over. And so he did what most people do. You get out and you open the hood and you stand there and you look inside. He said, but I didn't know what I was looking at because I don't know anything about cars. But I stood there. He said it was frustrating, not knowing where to begin, not knowing what to even do. And he says his son-in-law John shows up. He says, John looked under the same hood. He looked at the same engine, and he figured it out. And not only did he fix it, he seemed to enjoy the process. And he says, maybe if we had a little knowledge about where to begin, it would help us. We're in a sermon series entitled Prayer Changes Things. Prayer Changes Things. And today we're going to be talking about when we pray in secret, how God will reward us openly. As I was thinking about this text, I started thinking about, do we really give prayer a priority in our lives? Do we find that secret place and we go to it to be filled, to be nourished? Or do we tell everybody else about what's going on in our lives? How many of you seen the movie, was it War Room? A few folks have seen it. These are the creators and the producers of Courageous and Fireproof created this movie. But it's a powerful story about how prayer can have a powerful effect on our lives, on our parenting, on our careers, in our workplace, and in our homes. I've seen the movie 3 times. The first time I went to see the movie, my son kept saying, "Are you crying? Papa, are you crying?" And I couldn't hear everything that was going on in the movie. I'm like, shh, shh, shh. So I went back and I took a notebook the second time. But the two main characters in the story is Elizabeth and Tony Jordan. They have a beautiful daughter, a dream home, and it seems like everything should be going well in their lives. But underneath all that you're able to see is a strained and failing marriage. I mean, Tony is being successful, but he's being tempted by life. And Elizabeth is doing her job, but the daughter is being neglected. And she's becoming increasingly bitter. The question is, what would happen? I'm not going to give it all away. But Elizabeth meets her newest client, Clara, an older woman who says to her, "You need to learn how to do your fighting on your knees. You need to create space in your home for your war room." And she shares with her how she used to fight with her husband verbally. And she learned how to pray on her knees. And she makes this statement. She says, "No victory comes by accident, but it comes from the fervent, effectual prayers of Christian brothers and sisters who will take the time to pray." Do you have a war room? Do you have a battle plan of prayer over your family? A lot's happening in our lives, but do we make that time to talk to God? I'm talking about by ourselves. It's easy, even when we're in the church, to do church stuff, to become involved in other people's lives. Hello. And just to become busy. And we miss the opportunity to be in the presence of God, even ourselves. Even being busy in the church, doing church work, we miss the opportunity to spend that alone time with God. I'm telling you, my friends, when we invest that kind of time with God, He does something so significant, so powerful, that it can forever change our lives. Amen? when I turned 42, and don't ask me what my age is now, but when I turned 42, my wife bought me a BMW. She's a good wife, isn't she? It was my favorite color. I mean, that car was, oh. And it was a wonderful car. But one day, I had this meeting to go to, and I came out and I noticed that the tire was deflated a little bit. And I did what most men do. I went to the gas station, I filled that baby up, pumped some air in the tire, probably more than I should have. And I went to my meeting because I had a speaking engagement and, you know, I was feeling important that day. And while I was in there speaking, I was thinking, man, what's going to happen when I come out? When I came out, I had two flat tires, not one. And I said, man, let me just have this baby towed to our mechanic. And I had the car towed, and my mechanic called me, and he says, did you drive through a construction site or something? I said, no. How many wheels are on your car? I said, four. He said, well, how is it that you have 14 deck screws in each of these tires? I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. I shared that story with you because sometimes our prayer lives are just like that tire. It begins to deflate. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And we go through life. We go on and on and day after day, 24/7, without stopping to be refilled. And that's dangerous, isn't it? We say that we want to be all that God wants us to be, but we won't spend time with Him. That's interesting, isn't it? God wants that time alone with us. He's a jealous God, and He shall have no other gods before Him. And sometimes we make everything more important than spending time with God. Am I right about it? I've got a few confessions. Amen. I'll take them. This text is so powerful because Jesus is saying, hey, look at the Pharisees. They call themselves leaders, and they want to be out there, and they want to pray in front of folks so that they can be seen by people. They'll have their reward. You know, when people say, oh, man, he can pray, Jesus says that's their reward. Don't do that. And, you know, there are folks who pray, and then they just keep saying the same thing over and over. Jesus says, don't offer vain repetitions. He says, in essence, when you pray, get down to the nitty-gritty, amen? Tell God what it is. He already knows, but He wants to hear it from you. So get down to it. You know, one pastor, he was praying in church, and he was praying so long, and one lady just, she grabbed his robe, and she says, psst. Pastor said, what? She says, Pastor, he says, I'm praying. She says, I know. So he says, what? She says, just tell God what you want and be done with it. It doesn't have to be long. It just has to be sincere. Are you with me? So Jesus says, when you pray, don't do that. Don't be like them. You want a guarantee for God to hear your prayer? Go into your private place and there tell God all about it. Read your word and study your words. Sometimes we become human doings. I was thinking of the story of Mary and Martha. And Jesus comes for a visit because these are the women who had blessed him. And when he came for a visit, I imagined that Martha said, oh, I'm going to cook him something good. Oh, I'm going to bless Jesus. He hadn't had my so-and-so. You know how we do. And I imagined that Martha was with Mary, Mary was with Martha in the kitchen, but kind of slid away because she wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And Martha's in there and she says, you know, I can get this done a whole lot faster if Mary was in here with me. But she done ran in there with Jesus. And her response was a physical response. It really wasn't a spiritual response. But she did it anyway. She went in and she says, Lord, don't you care that Mary has left me to do all of this by myself? And Jesus says, Martha, you are concerned about a whole lot of things. He says, but there's only one thing that's needful. And Mary has chosen the good part, and it won't be taken away from her. In essence, Jesus was saying, come, rest in me. Maybe he's saying that to us this morning. Come and rest in me. Don't you know that at the foot of Christ, we can be changed, we can be better Christians, we can be better parents, we can be better children and better students and better entrepreneurs and better employees and better pastors when we come to the foot of Christ. Amen. This passage is simple, but it's real. Find the quiet time. The world is busy. It'll take you away. It will distract you. But if you want to be filled with power, you want to be filled with grace and hope for the journey, then you're going to have to find that quiet time with God and talk to him. Now, we can have our prayers with our wives and our husbands, and that's good. We can have our prayers with the church, and that's good. But God still wants his time with you, and he still wants his time with me. Are you with me? Yeah. Margaret, I want you to play that song one more time and sing it. I want you to listen to the words one more time, and we're going to close out with a prayer. So much. Would you join hands with the person next to you? Let us pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for loving us right back. We thank you, Lord, because a message so simple but so profound that says that you want to spend that time with us and that in that time you will grow us and mature us and help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Father, help us to examine ourselves, to see those places where we've become so busy that we don't take time to prayer, to take time to pray. Sometimes we just pray over the meal, and there are no other prayers that go on. Speak to us. Help us to do better. Let your Holy Spirit show us the way. Father, we thank you this morning for a young lady by the name of Sway, who was in our first service, who gave her life to you. And I just want our congregation to keep on praying for her and to keep on praying for Ricardo, that you might do great things in their life. Father, we pray for our sick and our shut-in who can't be here every week but have the love of this place and the love for you in their hearts. And we pray that you might bless them right where they are. Father, for those who are grieving today, we ask that you would draw close. And Father, we pray that you would bless every need, spoken and unspoken. But more than anything, we ask that you would have your way in every one of our lives. Let your will be done. And now let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would the ushers come that we might worship the Lord through the giving of our tithes and our offerings.